what? Faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Yeah, you know what this tossing is. Is you are tossed by circumstances of life. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says you are not going to receive anything from the Lord unless you pray in faith without doubting. Without what? Doubting. Let not that man think he shall receive anything. Anything, no matter what doubting is. You see, we read the Bible and we keep it aside and we continue in a religious thing and it doesn't pay. It don't get result that way. How I wish we come to realize that the Bible is God's word and that's what God does. Yesterday I was looking at a lot of people sick, a lot of sicknesses, and then new ones coming. Zika virus, all of a sudden they are surprised at how it was jumped to one state near us here, and they can't find mosquito. And they don't know how it came. They're really now shocked, surprised. And earthquake upon earthquake. And you know, earthquake took part in Africa for the first time, major one. It shook countries across countries. So we need to come to the realization that the Bible is one book that God wrote. God has no two books. God has one. Any other book can be good, but it's not the authority of God. The Bible is God's voice. It's God talking. And so when God says to you, you are not going to receive anything from me except you do this. No, nothing can change it. Because the word of God is true. It's absolute truth. And if I love myself, then I got to listen to God. I got to listen to God. You know, while we're praying here, the Lord said to me, say, you know, people want me to, you know, like Moses said, go with me. You know, they want God to be with them and do things. And they say, but the simplest way I can be with you is when you start doing what I told you. That tells you where I am located and what I'm involved in. I'm not with you because you are shouting. I'm with you because you are following my instructions. And that tells you that's exactly where I am located. And that's what the Bible says, that God is in the light. He's where what he told you to do is. So he says, nobody is going to receive anything from him except they pray in faith without doubting. Of course, you know that the Bible says that without faith it is impossible. To what? It's impossible. Because anything that is not of faith is an abomination to God, because you are doing it without faith in God, which means you are doing it with faith in something else. It's idolatry. We always exercise faith. Because you know, the Lord said to me, say, do you know faith is very easy? Is it? Because human beings exercise faith all the time. We always exercise faith. That you came and sat down on the chair is an act of faith in the chair that can carry you. But what the trouble is exercising faith in God alone. Exercising faith in what? I didn't hear you. In what? God alone. Israel went through the Red Sea with divine guidance. The Bible said they passed through that sea. But the Egyptians came without divine guidance. They wanted to pass through the same shadow of death and died. The difference is God, these people went by divine instruction. These people went by their own strength and anger and their armor and their horses and their power, and they failed them. So we can't, whatever is not of faith, it's not righteous. And the Bible calls doubt evil. Calls it evil. So if we want to pray, and you want your prayer to be really acceptable, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Which means if I bring prayer that is not of faith to God, It doesn't please God at all. So if I want to please God in my prayer, I need to pray in what? I didn't hear you. In faith. Do you know why God accepted the Abel's sacrifice? It was because it was offered in faith. That's all. The book of Hebrews says so. He said he offered his sacrifice in faith. And God accepted it. It's not difficult to walk with God. It is we human beings and on preachers who have no revelation that have made it difficult. They think it's what you do by your human power. You pray for hours. You wake up 1 a.m. because without stress, it doesn't look like God will answer. So you must wake up by 1 a.m. and make sure you pray those difficult times. You should be sleeping. Wake up. I didn't read anywhere the Bible says God answers prayer because you stress yourself. The Bible says God will answer prayer because you prayed in what? I didn't hear you. In faith. And faith removes stress from you. Let me come down and talk to you. Faith says he that believeth enters what? His rest. Faith removes stress from you and makes you rely on God. Faith makes you celebrate God's labor, God's power, God's faithfulness, God's promises, God and who he is, and makes you relax and watch God perform his word for you. That's what faith does. It takes away stress. All this wake up 1 a.m., wake up 3 a.m. I don't wake up. If I wake up that time, it's not to pray, it's to go and use the restroom. Do you know that since I started to pastor, I've never done night vigil. I don't do night vigils. From Lagos to here. Do we do night vigil here? Do we do? I'm asking you. I don't do that. I don't find it necessary. In Lagos, never did night vigil. They still carry on the tradition today. And let me tell you the result of all that following the scripture is that the church we left behind is the best four square church they have. The best they have. In terms of quality of people, in terms of number. They talk about that church everywhere. Somebody called me from VGC. VGC? VGC. VGC. Yeah, I said about Lekki. He said, Pastor, he said, that church people planted, the foundation is so solid. I said, no. Once you plant something on the living word of God, it's a sure foundation. Praise the Lord. And people find result. You know, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, if you feed on me, you'll be satisfied. Do you know the church we pastored? One time, I didn't ask them. They did it. They surveyed that church. Not one person was going for Holy Ghost night. Not one person. Not one soul. I didn't ask them to do that. They did it on their own. And they said, Pastor, amazing. We put program on the day they have Holy Ghost night, the church is packed. Why? Jesus said, if you feed on me, you will be satisfied. You find satisfaction. You are no more hungry. He said, you shall not hunger again. You found what you are looking for. Christ is our completeness. He meets all our need. He meets your thirst. So our faith in Christ is what gets things done. When we learn to start to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like we said we did when we gave our life to Christ. I was asking them at Union Church, I said, why do we spend a lot of time talking about sin? Are we not the ones that came to Jesus and said, well, I've surrendered our life to you? Either we didn't mean it or we don't know what we're talking about. Because if you come to somebody and say, my life is now you under your control, you are done with sin. He's the one controlling it. I said, it's either we don't know. All this after me, people don't understand. Some of them think they came out to be prayed for healing. And we say they're all born again. Many are not too. I said, no, you come to Jesus. I say, you are now my Lord. And my what? You're done with sin. Because you surrendered your life, he takes control of it. Starts guiding you by his spirit. If you are busy following the Holy Spirit, you have no time for sin. And number two, and I was telling the men, I said, how come Do you know, brethren, think of it. Is it not children like my granddaughter, Akwa Abia, my little girl? Is their age, you keep somebody to watch them. Why do you watch them? They can put their hands in what? And do something wrong. So somebody must watch them. I say, if I come to your church and you're preaching about sin, I'll get out of there. It's a nursery. It's a nursery. It's a church full of babies where you must watch them. Please don't commit adultery. No, don't tell her. No, they're babies. I say, when you grow in the Lord, you make a choice because you know right and wrong. You don't need, who is the adult that they're watching over you, following you around? So they don't put their hand. No adult, because adults know what is right and what? Come on, talk to me. And what? And wrong. And the Bible says when Moses grew, he made a choice. He chose to neglect the pleasures of sin. And it was the choice out of a matured mind. I said, I want to be in a mature class. I don't want kindergarten class because I don't want to be eating this thing with children. That's what immaturity does. When you're full of, church is full of immature people, they need the babysitters that call pastors that follow them around, babysitting them. Don't we here? Don't tell lies. Please, don't do this. A Christian should not do this. Christian should not do that. No, when you grow to maturity, you don't need a babysitter. Can I hear amen? You don't need what? Babysitter. The Bible said the Lord was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, where we come alive and grow and become matured, so that by reason of use, we know what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says we should not be led by the nose like animals, because we are not animals. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So when we come to pray, let us understand that we must be people who have proper understanding. Bible says the first thing that faith teaches us is an understanding that the things which are made, which we see, are made by the things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let's read it. He said, that's the first thing faith teaches you. It shows you that the things which you see are made by the things that's not seen. By faith, we understand. That's the first understanding you get. That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. This is the first thing that faith reveals to you, that the word of God creates all these things. Which means if God says this, it is done. That's one thing first. You have to come to that understanding. If you don't come to that understanding, you'll be thinking that the things you see are made by the things you see. And if you don't see where it is being made, you can't have your faith in God will go away. You'll be thinking that, well, if I pray for healing, then my healing is made by what I see or feel. So I start feeling my leg, thinking that the proof of my healing is made by what I see. So I'm checking it. So if I feel like it is being healed, then I say, yeah, it's working. How many of, do you get what I'm saying? The things that we see are not made by the things we see. They are not made by the things you feel. The worlds were created by the word of God, so that we will understand. People of faith understand. People of faith understand that the things we see were not made by the things we see. They were made by the things we don't see. Quit means, do you see God? God is invisible. But you got to believe in a God you don't see. That's what faith does. It makes you believe in the reality of what is not visible, that thing is real. That, and then second, they say, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. Even though I don't see him, he is real. He is real. He's there. Jesus is real. The cross is real. When we come to terms and understand these things, we are beginning to grow out of babyhood of Christianity. Babies always crawl by what they see. Okay, go and tell my little girl, Amarachukwu, that you are preparing food. Let her wait for you. She won't wait for you. She's screaming. You are preparing. She's screaming. The only time she will stop crying is when that food is well in the mouth. That's how baby Christians behave. They scream at God, yell and yell and yell some more, and God said, the milk I've made for you now. He said, I can't sit. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So if I ask God for anything, God says, you see that thing you asked me, it's been made for you. And I say, well, you know, I don't see it. God said, yes, I told you not to walk by sight. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Understand that thing you asked me has been done by the things you don't see. According to the word of God, it is real. It exists. It is yours. You say, I have it. You just know it is done. It is yours. And so the scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. You were hoping for it. You were hoping. The word is hoped for. The people that translated that verse in these modern Bibles, some of them don't have a revelation of the things of God. So they use their wisdom and linguistic ability to ruin the word of God. They take away what God is talking about. So if you read in some of these more modern things, they tell you that faith is the evidence of things that you are hoping for. No, sir. Because faith is something that has happened already. If it hasn't happened, then it's hope. The Bible says if you have it, why do you hope for it? No. The Bible calls it a substance. And if it's a substance, it is in existence. And if it's in existence, it is in the spiritual realm. Because God says the things you are going to see were made by the things you don't see. And that's why I'm telling you, as God in my Bible, that if you ask me, believe. If you ask me, I'll give you. I'll make it for you. Just believe it is there and accept it. And so if it is in the spiritual realm, why should I be looking for it in the physical realm? As if to say it is made by the physical. Why am I going to be checking if the physical is really making it? God said, no, it's not made by the physical. It's made by the spiritual. According to my word. According to my word. The same word that created heaven and earth. The same word that makes these things for you. Can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? So if I ask God, if I'm going to take exam, for instance, and I pray, and I said to God, I need you to help me in this exam. And I said, thank you, Lord. What I'm going to look at that to tells me it is made, it's not the physical things, the way I feel, what people talk about. That's not where it is made. If I'm looking there, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I will never see it made there. But if I look at the word of God, I see it is made. And I enter that exam rejoicing ahead of time. Can I hear amen? The Bible says that people of faith, I want you to listen to me, that they look forward to the reward. That they look forward. They look what? Forward. They look what? Forward. They look what? Forward. It said they don't look back at the things they left behind because God has done something new. They look forward. They look forward. Can everybody say looking forward? Come on, say it louder. They look forward to the reward. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Say they look forward. They look forward. They say they look unto God. He said, if they were looking to the city they left, they will go back. They are going to go back. But because they're not looking at what is the situation as they left it, they're looking forward to a city not made by hand. They're looking, they believe there's a spiritual reality that God exists doing things in the realm they don't see. They say they're looking forward to that city. You should be looking forward to what God has made, not made by hand. You should be looking forward to the answers to your prayer, not made by hand. You should be looking forward to that and saying, God has made this thing. And the thing that comes out of your mouth is praise and thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear a good hallelujah. And the devil says, well, you know, you don't see it. Yes, Satan, shut up. The word of God tells me. Let's read that Hebrews 11:3 again. By faith, we understand. What do we understand? that the words, now take out words and say the things you ask God to make for you now. All of them. The words, we are framed by the word of God. So if I want to know what God has framed for me, I go and look for it in the word of God. Then what happened? That the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So if I'm looking for it in the visible, what am I going to see? Nothing. I'm looking, and the Bible says, don't walk by sight, don't look for it there. Look for it in the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why you see what God has done. God says, if you ask, I will give. Then I've seen it there. And I ask God for A, B, C. Then I see in the word that, yeah, he said, if I ask, I give. Then he has given. I don't have to see him give it because he's a spirit. But the word tells me what he has done when I prayed. And then the things don't change overnight. It doesn't bother me because he has given and I've received. And finally, it will come into the natural. Can I hear amen? I didn't hear a good amen here. And then what guarantees that these things will happen is faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say one more thing, please. I want you to listen to me very well. There is nothing you are going to receive from God because of what you did. Don't ever go to God flaunting your goodness. Don't try that. Your goodness and my goodness will buy us nothing. In fact, the man that tried it, Peter said, you and your money perish. So you think you buy the gift of God. You don't buy the gift of God. You don't buy the gift of God. I told the men in the retreat, I said, the scripture says that those who think that grace is things that make you cause sin, the Bible says they are evil people. And their judgment is coming. That they are denying Christ who brought us grace. Everything God gives you in this life, is based on your faith in Christ. You got saved because of your faith in who? Jesus. Do you know the word saved? You got delivered. You got healed. You got saved from Satan. Saved from judgment. Saved is comprehensive word that talks of complete freedom. Like Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free. That's what the word saved means. The Son set you free. Completely. You are free indeed. Not because of anything you did. It's the gift of God. Freely you receive these things. We don't have anything to pay for. We can't pay God for that. I know you are such a good and holy Christian. Praise the Lord. But for God's sake, keep it at the door. And go in the name of Jesus. Your name doesn't amount to any pack of beans before God. My name doesn't amount to pack of beans before God. And that's the humbling thing that proud Christians don't want to hear. They don't want to. They want to hear that it is Jesus and me, both of us now. See, Jesus did half, and I did half. So when I go to God, I say, I come in Jesus' name, and then also my own name. So both of us now. And God says, who are you? Your righteousness is a filthy rag here. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I can't share my glory with you. I've only glorified my Son. And the church enjoys it when they lift up my Son. I want to teach us something. You know what grace is? Grace is God telling you and me that I'm the one that does everything for you. You don't do nothing. I'm the one. So you come and trust me from beginning to the end. And I'm doing it because of your faith in Christ Jesus. I told them at the ministry, I said, we forget easily, very, very easily, brethren, that it was grace that brought us salvation. What brought us salvation? The grace of God. We forget it very easily. I said, do we forget? The Bible said the grace of God that bringeth what? He brought us salvation. He brought us deliverance. It was grace. It was freely delivered. It was grace. I said, if not for the grace of God that Jesus brought, we will all be in our sins and go to hell. I said, grace brought us salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. And after bringing salvation, it announces to the whole world that you cannot deny unrighteousness because I've set you free from control of unrighteousness. You can deny it now. You can say no. I said, because before we were slaves of sin. But when grace came, it cut us off and we became freeborn children of God. And grace says, you cannot deny ungodliness. Before you could not because you were a slave. Now you can because you are a son. The son has set us what? In the same vein that grace broke us away from control of sin, in the same way grace made us sons of God, and being sons, he made us heirs of the blessings of God. The same vein, the same act of mercy that delivered us from Satan, delivered us from sin, delivered us from the world, and said, now you have been empowered, you can say no. It's the same act that set you free, that made you a son of God, gave you new nature, made you a new creation. All that thing that God did for you is an act of mercy and grace. You didn't pay for any of them. I was telling the man, I said, if God didn't make us new creature, we'd be in hell, all of us. But that new creature he made for us when we came to Christ, is an act of his mercy and grace because of his son Jesus. I said, in the same vein, the same act of mercy that created us new being, brought us and made us sons of God. And being sons of God, we're heirs of his promise. Somebody shout hallelujah. And that includes going to God and getting your prayers answered. Because of the same faith in Christ Jesus. That's why the book of 1 John said, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is what? The Son of God. That's the one that overcomes this world. Whether it is sin, whether it is, because his faith is in the rock. In the rock. In the solid rock. His faith is in the Son of the living God. And those that trust in him will never be put to shame. When you trust in him, the Holy Spirit begins to glorify Christ in your life. The reality of the power of God, the reality of the things that God has accomplished for us begins to work in your life. Begins to work in your life. You see your life changing. And you're like, wow, God is working. He's the one that working me to will and to what? To do. And all the glory, you carry all the glory to God. You will never talk about yourself. You will never, because you know it's not you. You know it's God. So when you come to pray, understand that your faith in Christ qualifies you for answer to prayer. That's what gives you access to God. Trusting in the blood of Jesus. Trusting in the name of Jesus. Trusting in his high priestly ministry, where he assures us that the blessings belong to us. With that, you can go to God in confidence. Coming to the throne of what? Grace. See, the throne of grace. Because we are in the era when grace is reigning. It's sitting on the throne of God. God said, my throne is where grace is reigning. So when you come there, I will give you grace, give you mercy to help you in all your problems. Can I hear amen? And then she came to my office one day. She, that's my daughter did. I said, Pastor, I've been taking exam, and I've been failing. I said, really? He said, and this one is the last one. I laughed. If I had cane, I would have started by flogging her. But fortunately, I don't keep cane in my office. So I said to her, I said, why do you think you will fail? I don't understand why. Your first thought is about failing. Why? He said, I've been taking it. I said, what is the reason? Why should you think of failing? When God says, I'm your helper, how can God help you and you fail? And I told her, I said, your problem is you don't have faith. Don't believe in the word of God. I said, all things are possible to him that what? Believe this thing. I said, now, we pray simple prayer. She's there now. Today I'm telling the what we did. I said, let's pray simple prayer. Simple. Just simple. I said, we're going to ask God to help you. Because he committed himself as a helper. I said, we pray that prayer, help you pass the exam. And then we prayed. I said, Lord, you know you said you are our helper. She needs a lot of help. I said, Lord, help her to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Did we pray long? Okay. So help her to pass in Jesus' name. I said, see this scripture. Go home and meditate on it. Take it home. And believe that God is your helper. That's all it takes. And she did. And in the night, God gave her a revelation. And said, I'm the God your helper. Ask her. Am I telling lies? God came to her and said, I'm the God your helper. Which means that thing he's telling you, God wanted to show her that that thing he's telling you is true. That believe my word. If I tell you I'm this, that's what it is. If I tell you if you pray, I'll answer. That's what it is. You don't need to kill yourself. Ask. If I tell you if you ask in the name of my son, I will do it. That's what it is. Don't create another version of Christianity. Just follow the Bible. And she took the exam. Did you fail? What did you do? You passed. That's not the first one. There are other people that had the same situation. I used the same scripture for them. Do you know the scripture I used for her? She should have used it longest time and got the same result. The same result. Huh? Oh, you now have it off it. Okay. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I didn't hear much. I said, praise the Lord. Brethren, I'm begging you, stop putting off your blessings. It's now. God is not saying wait till tomorrow. God is saying now. Now. You need it now. You get it now. Once you pray, it is done. Faith is about things that exist. It's a substance. It's an evidence of something you don't see that exists. So once you have prayed, just learn to learn, follow the word and say to God, thank you. Your word said so. The things that are seen are not made by the things we see. So I'm not going to look at the things we see. I'm going to look at the word through which you create all things. And I keep looking at that word because my faith will be made sight. And there will be a manifestation of those things which you said. And your name will be glorified. Can I hear amen? Amen. You know when we bought this building, they were asking me where the money will come from. I laughed my head off. I said, who was providing before? At one point, did any of you provide? I said, God has been providing. Now, the same person will still provide because we had to buy this building, $1.3 million. We didn't have money. I laughed again. And they said, Pastor, why did you say it's coming? I said, it's coming for him. He's the one. I said, I don't have any burden on this. It's not my business. It doesn't concern me. I'm not even praying about it. I said, he built his church, so I'm going to sleep. Few weeks before we were to pay $300,000. If Taylor was here, we should tell you people stories. Abba. He said, Pastor, working with you changed my life. Few weeks before we committed to paying $300,000 we didn't have. Few weeks before then, we had $300,000. And we went and did down payment. I mean, when I mean $300,000, we wiped our account. We left that place, we signed this thing with nothing in the account. And we're supposed to pay electric bill of $7,500 on mortgage, electric bill of about $4,000. There were a slew of other things, thousand. And upstairs was junk. This place has nothing. Come on, you saw it now. Am I telling you lies? It had nothing. We entered here, it was empty. We put the altar here before. And then moved it to here. Am I telling lies? It was an empty place. This chair was not there. Nothing was there. Nothing. This fan was put by people and all this. And then we entered there. I put the pulpit here. We did Bible study one Thursday. The first day we came here was on a Thursday. None of them sitting here knew that we didn't have money in their account. Nobody knew that. But I put the pulpit here. That glass pulpit. And was preaching the word of God. I had no care in the world. I didn't have to discuss it with anybody. Because I know that God is faithful. Praise the Lord. He said, I will help you. I said, Lord, I know you help. I said, thank you. And then finally, when the time came to take care of the bills, the money was there. So we went from paying monthly bill of 2,000 something to pay monthly bill of $45,000. Check it in your head. If this is not a miracle, tell me what a miracle is. From 2000, in Newark, 2000 something, we used to pay them rent. And 2000 something in the month, to pay in over 45,000 in 1 month, taking care of this place and everything. If this is not a miracle, tell me what it is. How many times have I come here to announce for money since you came to this church? I'm asking you now. Eh? Okay. Why? You are bigger than what people think. You are bigger than what people say. You are bigger than what people say. You are bigger than what people say. You are. And you. You are bigger. I want us to sing it. Come on, sing it. Stand up. You are bigger than what people say. Jehovah, bigger than what people say. Sing it again. You are bigger than what people say. Jehovah, you are bigger than what people say. Oh, Lord, oh, you.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.